Today is the final day of the Detroit Regional Chamber's Mackinac Policy Conference. Michigan education and the economy have dominated the sessions this year. Here to share his thoughts on all the issues discussed at the annual gathering, we welcome to Current State, live from Mackinac Island, Governor Rick Snyder. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
Good
morning. Beautiful day up here.
Glad to have you aboard, Governor. There's a lot of news emanating from the island. Is there anything happening that, from your point of view, is being underreported?
One thing is we launched something really cool called DoSomethingMichigan.com yesterday. And it really came out of doing meetings with young people, particularly in southeastern Michigan and Detroit. And they kept on saying, we want to get involved. We want to help. And so what we did is we came up with a website and a texting system to really get them involved. And we're doing this in partnership with Beehive in Detroit and the Michigan Community Service Commission across the rest of the state. And so if you literally text the word action to 25827, or you can go to DoSomethingMichigan.com, you'll get a response back. And they're going to work with you on helping you volunteer, to mentor, to speak out, to get involved. And we just launched this yesterday afternoon, and I think we had literally over 4,000 or so people sign up already.
Fantastic. DoSomethingMichigan.com. Well, there's a flood of people going there as we speak. So the conference's two keynote speakers, Jeb Bush and Michelle Rhee, like you, are supporters of adopting the Common Core educational curriculum here in Michigan. Both made that clear in their addresses. Are you detecting any growing support or even any growing willingness to reconsider Common Core funding among legislative Republicans who oppose it?
Well, I think we are making progress there in terms of the budget process. They put some language in the budget that gives us some time to work on that. So it's really something that we can continue to say, let's get some positive response on Common Core before October 1, and then we can move ahead. And I think a lot of it is getting a good dialogue about what Common Core is all about, because it's really about, it was done by the National Governors Association with school officers working together at the state level to say, don't we need to be more competitive on a global basis, and let's do some standards for math and reading in particular, and raise those standards so we can be competitive. It wasn't a federal mandate at all or a federal program. And so that's something that I think we just need to get the message out to say, don't we want to be globally competitive, to do it well, do it right, and let's talk about it.
So the Common Core discussion, if I'm hearing you correctly, the Common Core discussion will be continuing well beyond June 1st, probably closer to October 1st?
Yeah, it should be continuing. I mean, there's a couple other things. We got the budget's largely done. It'll be wrapped up early next week. In many respects, and it's a very strong budget, but there's two or three items. I also want to follow up on Healthy Michigan about the question of better coverage for individuals, particularly with more wellness orientation and a primary medical home model. And the other one is transportation funding. We still need to keep working that issue. We put some significant resources towards it, but there's more to be done. One big accomplishment in this budget that is part of the part that is getting passed is early childhood education. I'm very excited by that.
What do you make, I have to ask you this, what do you make of this profound skepticism of all things federal from the conservative wing of your party? How do you interpret that, and where do you think this comes from?
Well, it's not hard to figure out where it comes from. Is Washington's a mess. And I think that's an accurate statement in the sense that if you look at it, they don't even do a budget anymore. They haven't for several years. The debt. National debt continues to grow, and there's a need for tax reform. So there's a paralysis in Washington. That's a real problem. I believe that is holding back our whole national economy, and I think that causes some skepticism. What I would say is let's be proactive in Michigan about solving our issues, trying to be a good partner in working forward and doing it in a Michigan way, because in just those three big issues I mentioned, we've solved them in Michigan in the last two or three years. So they are solvable, and let's be a good role model, and Michigan can be a role model for Washington being successful.
There is reportedly new data from the Highway Loss Data Institute showing total insurance claims resulting from motorcycle accidents in Michigan rose 51% after the state ended its mandatory helmet law in April of last year. Any second thoughts about repealing the mandatory helmet law in Michigan?
Well, what I'd say is that you talked about accidents, and the question is what kind of accidents and the consequences, because that's where the helmet becomes most particularly acute. It's something that's worth continuing to watch. What I would say is we have 1 year's data. And I've looked at historical data. That can vary dramatically from year to year. And it's really important we look at a longer-term trend line. So let's just keep monitoring that. But if it is a real issue, then we should potentially revisit. But I would say that would be another year or two out.
We're talking with Michigan Governor Rick Snyder live from Mackinac Island. Are you enjoying any level of success persuading those fellow Republicans who oppose Medicaid expansion to reconsider their positions?
Well, I think we're making positive progress. They've come forward with what they would like to see in a healthy Michigan plan. I think there's a number of good ideas that they put forward that deal with wellness, again, more primary home medical model, how people can be involved in their own health care, saying people should get a physical. Those are all good things. There are a couple aspects that I think are much more challenging. There's a 48-month requirement, a couple other things that I think aren't feasible, and those are the kind of discussions we're having. So I hope over the next couple weeks we can work through what are some of the great things they put on the table that we can do? What are some of the things that may not be viable that we hopefully could look at dropping, and then let's get something done? Because I think it's a great opportunity to improve our system. Right now we have an uncontrolled, unmanaged system where people use the emergency room far too often, and we could get to a medical home model, a primary care model that could bring down cost to society and save us all money.
Is this the kind of topic that is being discussed person to person, Democrat to Republican, Republican to Democrat at the Mackinac Conference?
Oh, yeah, and I'm doing it not in a partisan fashion. I'm just trying to talk to legislators in general about some of these kind of issues because, again, you shouldn't make partisanship the key driver. The driver that we should be working on is what's best for the citizens of Michigan, our customers.
I was under the impression, and I think a lot of our listeners were under the impression, that the measure in the state Senate involving the Education Achievement Authority would expand the number of schools overseen by the EAA. But yesterday you said that's really not what the bill is about, and that the EAA already has the authority to do just that. Can you clarify what this is about, please?
Well, no, that was a correct statement you just said, that the EAA can have schools added to it anytime. It's really up to the state superintendent, and that's under existing law. So the statute that was being talked about that people quite often try to say they don't want to do it because it would allow the EAA to grow is simply inaccurate. In fact, one of the things I was happy to do is let's put some constraints or let's put some parameters on it in the legislation that actually would make it more managed. So that's where there's a lot of misinformation out there. The EAA is doing tremendous things. I mean, one of the exciting things we did yesterday was announce a $100 million fundraising campaign with private dollars and nonprofit dollars to help the EAA, to help Excellent Schools Detroit, and to do a scholarship program for Detroit kids. And if you look at the people that have given to that in terms of the nonprofit community, the corporate community, and individual community, there's so many wonderful people that have done a lot of good due diligence on the EAA and think it's a very good thing.
But there's nothing stopping the EAA from actually adding another three dozen schools under its purview now?
Well, again, the EAA doesn't make that decision. It would be done by the state superintendent. But it could be done. But the point is I don't think that would be appropriate, and I don't think Mike Flanagan does either. Because, again, the EAA is just getting started, and it should be some more managed growth path. And so I wouldn't expect schools to be added, even though it's permissible by law today, you know, for this next year.
The Detroit News recently reported on inflated claims the EAA made to win a federal grant for a merit pay program. Was that an issue, and has it been settled?
Well, I think that's been resolved. Again, when you look at many things going on, it's like in many things, and I think it was a case where they were talking about potential future growth. That wasn't implying that it was going to be necessarily what happened, but it was an up-to kind of analysis to say the numbers could go up to this. That didn't mean it was necessarily in law or in statute to say it was going to add that many schools. So I think, again, a lot of this is people stepping back to say, let's just not be against something. Let's look at the facts.
All right. We are pleased to have had to have joined you here this morning. Governor Rick Snyder, live from Mackinac Island. Governor, thank you. We'll talk again soon.
That's great to be with you. Take care.